imitated, never duplicated. This is the one and only Fash the Nation, your guiding light in a sea of degeneracy.
Episode 201, Fash the Nation. I'm Jazz Hans McFeels, joined as always by my trusty co-host Marcus Halderstram. Welcome back to the midweek show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I listened to you and Ask an Arc, and thought you guys did a wonderful job covering the news and also a few bonus topics. It was a very interesting show.
Yes, Reconstruction 2.0 is definitely a black pill, but it's one that everybody needs to hear about the trajectory of this thing. It's coming sooner or later. And yeah, there's been a lot of developments since then. We've had our 200th episode of FTN. Now we're in 201, and welcome to new subscribers, because this is the midweek FTN paywall show. So if you're new to the paywall, welcome. Glad to have you. If you want to write for FTN, send an email to ftnmail@tutanota.com, TUTANOTA.com. I think since we did the Sunday show, which we record on Saturday, we talked a little bit about Mueller, because that was the big news Friday, Mueller report. And then I think the summary has come out since then, right? Sunday or something like that.
Yeah, so the Mueller report summary was released by Attorney General William Barr on Sunday after a breathless Saturday of speculation. Not unpredictably, the White House and President Trump's allies are calling it a complete exoneration. And Adam Schiff and Gerald Nadler are vowing endless investigations. The summary delivered by the Attorney General to Capitol Hill was fairly brief, so I'm sure a lot of people have probably been reading about it, but it's short enough to go over the relevant sections here with you guys. So I'm just going to go right into it. Based on these activities, the special counsel brought criminal charges against a number of Russian military officers. He's talking about the actual Russian involvement in the 2016 election. And that's sort of where it starts. For conspiring to hack into computers of the United States for purposes of influencing the election. But as noted above, the special counsel did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these efforts, despite multiple offers from Russian affiliated individuals to assist the Trump campaign.
Well, of course, they have to impugn Russia in some way in this. Russia can't walk away from this unscathed. And yeah, not only did the Trump administration refuse multiple times to engage with these quote unquote Russians, because most of the time these were setups. This was all simulated. This was all synthesized Russian collusion and involvement, because they thought the Trump administration would accept help in getting involved with this stuff. So this is all, you know, this wasn't just an intelligence agencies happening to observe the Trump administration being sort of proposed to by these Russian entities of sorts. These were setups. Everybody knows they were setups. And so the fact that they sort of didn't get involved is probably not a bad thing. But there's nothing illegal about collusion. There's nothing on the books about collusion anyway. But, you know, the fact that they didn't, probably not a bad idea. But of course, you know, going back to the very beginning of this thing, there was no there to any of this, but they couldn't walk away totally empty handed. So at least, you know, that's the consolation prize, is that Russians were involved, Russian meddling in our election. They can pivot to meddling instead of collusion at this point.
Yeah. And the interesting part of the summary and obviously the report is that the part about obstruction of justice, which everyone is sort of, you know, going to be talking about going forward, because the Bob Mueller, Mr. Straight Shooter, it turns out, was actually shooting fairly straight. He did defer to the attorney general, in this case, William Barr, and also Mr. Rosenstein was in on the act. The line that you're, I'm sure, hearing and seeing everywhere is the special counsel states that while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. I don't know exactly why Mueller chose to do it this way. Maybe so it could, you know, sort of go on forever, even though it's obviously all been exposed as bullshit.
Well, I think that, I mean, that was always the plan. This is, Mueller was the man that was hired to find the crime, right? They have the guy, now go find the crime. The problem is that all of these efforts to set up the Trump administration failed. They didn't have a smoking gun. The dossier was fake. There's nothing there for them to prosecute. And so they had it. I mean, from the outset, it was Mueller's job to find something. And the assumption was that, well, Trump is dirty. Kushner's dirty. We're going to go a lot into detail on that on the weekend show, by the way, the whole interactions. Well, the whole involvement of Jared Kushner in the Trump administration and just how dirty it is. I don't think anybody realizes how dirty it is, but it's very fucking dirty. And they just thought, well, even if we don't come up with something, we'll sort of set the wheels in motion and see what comes up. And the reality is that actually, you know, they set traps that didn't get triggered and then nothing was found there. And so that's why you started to see Mueller kicking these a lot of these sealed indictments up to the Southern District of New York. Now, I think my theory is that a lot of those indictments actually don't have much to do with Donald Trump at all, at least not the man himself. I think some of those have to do with Jared Kushner, and I think a good number of them have to do with Jared Kushner, because a lot of the illegality that has been conducted during the Trump administration has nothing to do with Russia. It has to do with the Kushners and banking and a lot of illegal shit going on. So I think that's what those are. But when you started to see the Mueller team starting to let people go and they started to pack up and close up shop, I mean, that was a long time ago. People saw this for a while. I mean, how long have we heard these stories about the Mueller report is going to be anticlimactic? Don't get too excited. Months, right? Since like last fall, we've been hearing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd say maybe after like 14 months or 15 months, you know, of it being an ongoing thing.
Yeah. I mean, we knew early on that. The one thing that we've always said is also that if there was ever anything bad, it would have leaked, right? Because there were other things that leaked. If there was ever anything that the Trump administration was guilty of or that they were going to go after them for in terms of collusion, would have leaked. There's nothing.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe assumption, you know, regardless of all the. You know, accolades you're seeing directed at Robert Mueller for the relatively few number of leaks, especially considering the team that he had put together, that still is sort of a mystery. Yeah. It's like, if you're going to play it straight, why didn't you like hire one Republican, you know, one GOP donor?
Yeah, well, because I mean, Mueller himself, though they say he's a Republican, he's not. I mean, he's obviously part of the whole apparatus, like James Comey. And you know, this whole thing, just, you know, so people don't get confused. This is not, we're not analyzing this from the standpoint of defending Trump. We're not analyzing this as like pro Trump on the Trump train, political.
No, I mean, these people did try to do a coup against someone who I, you know, voted for president. The fact that it didn't fucking work out is immaterial at right. this point.
Yeah. So, yeah, I sort of try to shy away from the grug brain takes of like, oh, Trump let us down on legal immigration and fucked up on a lot of other things. Therefore, I don't care about stuff like this. I can't take that. I mean, I can't take that. Tech, just not possible. But That's the thing here is the left did not get what they wanted out of this whole thing. I've been seeing actually quite a few ice cold takes out there. One of them is that the Russians did meddle in the election, but it was on behalf of Hillary Clinton. That's one of the ice cold takes that I've seen. Russians got to Mueller, and that's why Mueller is letting Trump off the hook. I've also seen, you know, some people are speculating that because Trump cucked on legal immigration, that's why Mueller let him off the hook. Yeah, Trump's been a disappointment in many, many ways, which we've illuminated in recent episodes. But the Democrats didn't just give up their central talking point for the 2020 election and the foundation on which all of these probes were going to be built, not to mention the credibility of the media and Adam Schiff and everybody else that has been pushing this whole thing just because, like, Trump started being a faggot like and giving them sort of what they want, because, like, all they have to do is just wait him out. And they certainly don't want him in there. They could just replace. I mean, the better path, obviously, is just impeachment, even though they, you know, they understand there are risks involved there, and replace him with somebody else. Like, they're not going to. I mean, just because Trump threw in the towel on legal immigration doesn't mean that they're going to be like, oh, OK, you can have 6 years, Donald. Just do whatever we want. And, like, we'll just, like, capitulate on. No, this is not what they wanted, because this is, the whole thing is in disarray. Another one that I heard was Mueller and Rosenstein got scared of Lindsey Graham, and so they decided to let Trump off the hook. Like, dude.
Yeah, no, that's wow. That is a really bad take. Anyway, long story short, Barr says Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein and I have concluded that the evidence developed during the special counsel's investigation is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice, blah, blah, blah. In making this determination, we noted that the special counsel recognized that the evidence does not establish that the president was involved in an underlying crime related to Russian election interference, and that, while not determinative, the absence of such evidence bears upon the president's intent with respect to obstruction. Basically saying, you know, he didn't actually do the thing, so he had no real reason to obstruct justice.
Well, that's the so the left and the J left, of course, are taking the position of, like, well, it doesn't matter. You fired James Comey, right? Like, you didn't know. They sort of take this, like, I don't know, this weird position of, if you're under investigation, even if you're innocent, if you try to stop that investigation, you're obstructing justice. And this whole notion that Trump firing James Comey in the middle of when Comey signaled that this whole thing was going to get spooled up is kind of stupid. But
especially since, you know, in light of everything that has gone on, you know, with Comey since he was relieved of his duties as the director of the FBI, like, it's obvious that the guy was kind of a shitty FBI director, generally speaking, and not, you know, a good person serving the Trump administration and the president.
James Comey is universally hated at the FBI. There are very few people that like Comey. This is a pretty well-known public fact. I mean, he is not well-liked by the rank and file. He's really not liked by anybody now, like, as you sort of predicted when Comey couldn't deliver the goods. Like, Comey was the guy that they hired to execute this coup. Right. He was the guy that was supposed to do this. And so that's why they got so angry when Trump said, you're fucking fired. And the thing is, I mean, we're going to get into this weekend. But since it involves Jared Kushner, I mean, it's, you know, important to talk about now. If people recall, it was Jared Kushner's idea to fire James Comey. Donald Trump didn't want to do that. And Trump pushed back on it, and including a lot of the other people in his staff. Now, it's sort of worked out to an extent. I mean, it would have been a lot better not to have, you know, if you're putting yourself in the shoes of the Trump administration, it would have been better from their perspective not to have this probe and all this shit going on. And, you know, it certainly would be a lot better for Paul Manafort. That's for sure. But like, I mean, all the collateral damage of this whole thing. But,
yeah. But it was Jared Paul Kushner. Manafort should have dipped. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he should have. Yeah, Kushner. It was Kushner's idea. And apparently the inside buzz is that Trump was extremely pissed. That was what precipitated some of the get these kids out of my administration talk, because he had sort of everyone, his legal counsel and others were predicting like, dude, you're going to get a special counsel. Don't do that. They're going to fuck you, man. Don't try it. And he listened to Kushner and basically he's like, you fucking like Trump essentially was like, you fucked me here, guy. Like, I should not. Yeah,
well, there's
got to
be about 10 things at this point where they should have been sent packing back to New York for whatever, you know, said individual thing in that instance was alone.
Well, yeah. And according to like multiple senior administration officials, this would happen often. This happens a lot. And then at some point, you know, it's almost like Groundhog Day, sort of, that they would walk back into these situations and it would be as if Trump had completely forgotten that Kushner or Ivanka had led him down a shitty path, like literally the day before, just forgets. And it's just like, you know, it's just like starting over, hitting the reset button. It's like it's never fucking happened. But yeah, no, we'll get into it this weekend. There are a number of different, like, if you think about it, almost every shitty thing, this is not letting Trump off the hook, but almost every shitty thing that has happened to Trump or as a result of something Trump has done has been because of Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner is at the center of virtually every bad thing that has happened, either to Trump or that Trump has shifted on. Not to say that Trump isn't responsible, but, you know, this boomer is very easily led astray by Jared. And this is just one of the examples. Now, taking the other side of this, though, like if he hadn't fired Comey, where would this have gone? Full steam ahead? I don't know. Would he have fired Comey eventually? If there's really no there, as, you know, the Mueller report has sort of decided or revealed, as everybody knew, what was Comey's job to continue to do? Essentially just make sure that the FBI continues to run in the direction that it's supposed to run, no matter what Trump does. Essentially, I think that was his job.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I have yet to see evidence that Christopher Wray is not doing the same thing.
He's just as bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, like I said, Schiff and Nadler were out there, you know, calling for, you know, limitless investigation. Yeah. If you want to you ready for some pill pull?
Yeah, let's hear it.
To back up what you said before, that you believe the president has obstructed justice. You still believe that?
Well, there have been obstructions of justice, whether they're criminal obstruction is another question. But we have the special prosecutor is limited in scope. His job was limited in scope and limited to crimes. What Congress has to do is look at a broader picture. We are in charge. We have the responsibility of protecting the rule of law, of looking at obstructions of justice, at looking at abuses of power, at corruption, in order to protect the rule of law so that our democratic institutions are not greatly damaged by this president.
The rule of law at democratic institutions.
Yeah, that just means like the rule of Jewish law and our Jewish democratic institution. It really is. I mean, look behind all of these things. I mean, I was talking to some boomers over the weekend and I mean, I sort of pointed out, like, you notice a pattern here. Gerald Nadler, Adam Schiff. You seeing what's going on yet? Boomer. You see what's happening, you know? It's like
yeah, no, I've been doing a little bit of that, and you know, those two in particular make it very easy, but also, you know, the various and sundry cast of characters in this whole little drama is pretty heavy. Trump's old New York crowd. But yeah, here he is going even harder.
President Trump is wrong. This report does not amount to a so-called total exoneration. Special Counsel Mueller was clear that his report, quote, does not exonerate, close quote, the president. The special counsel spent 22 months uncovering evidence of obstruction and other misconduct. Attorney General Barr, who auditioned for his role with an open memorandum suggesting that the obstruction investigation was unconscionable, and that a president, and that it was almost impossible for any president to commit obstruction of justice since he is the head of the executive branch, made a decision about that evidence in under 48 hours. His conclusions raise more questions than the answer, given the fact that Mueller uncovered evidence that, in his own words, does not exonerate the president. It is unconscionable that President Trump would try to spin the special counsel's findings as if his conduct was remotely acceptable.
Oosh, yeah. I mean, it's like, oh, of course, there's multiple instances of obstruction of justice. I mean, you're not necessarily talking about a crime. It's like, well, I mean, when people use those three words together as a phrase, obstruction of justice, they're usually referring to something legal, typically meaning a chargeable offense as such.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and they're coping so hard on this because they like I said, this Mueller probe was when it wasn't going to turn up some sort of smoking gun, which they were hoping that it would have, but it didn't. They started to transfer these cases up to the Southern District of New York. And when the Democrats won the House, they immediately started with these probes. But I mean, look down the list, dude. Nadler, Schiff, Schumer, Rosenstein, Steyer, all the people that are involved. it's just like it goes on forever. It's like totally undeniable. Yeah, Wiseman. It's just, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just totally undeniable that, you know, the involvement with this. And like we said on the weekend show, you know, that it's the Jewish paranoia of Russia as well. You know, that Putin is going to have some sort of a play here. And that's a lot of the neocons on the right that are giving the ice cold take that, like, you know, Trump is exonerated here, but they won't abide. The Jay Wright will not abide that Putin has been exonerated. The Russians still meddled in the election. It was just on behalf of Hillary Clinton, or the Russians got to Bob Mueller is something that the Jay left is starting to go after. And look, Rod Rosenstein is starting to, you know, catch the ire of a lot of Democrats as well. That's another guy who may get the Comey treatment, you know, as time goes on, because he didn't deliver. In fact, he signed off on Barr's report. So it's tough for them to even try to impugn Barr, though some of them are saying, yeah, you know, they're saying that, you know, look, Barr was hired to do the job and get rid of Mueller, and he did it. There you go.
Yeah, when I saw that that Rosenstein was sort of his right hand man, you know, going over the report and writing the summary, and he, you know, signed on the line which is dotted, I was like, it's probably good he was still around for that.
Well, I think they wanted to make sure that there was no impropriety of, oh, well, they kicked Rosenstein out and look what happened, because it's very different. That's why this is so, again, regardless of Donald Trump's failings, looking at this purely as this failed coup of what they tried to do and they tried to pull off, it totally blew up in their face. And they are, this is the pain that they are going through right now is very real. And I forgot to mention this before we talk about the media. But, you know, all the people that got caught up in this Mueller probe, that got put in jail or involved in some kind of sentencing, I just remembered Paul Manafort was brought onto the Mueller or to the Trump campaign by Kushner, too. And so was Flynn. So it's like all the collateral damage was actually just like people that dirty fucking people that Kushner and Ivanka, both of them together, or Ivanka, like, sort of brought all this together. So it's tough to even really feel bad. But yeah, Manafort should have fucking run.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, before we get to the media, which is certainly the juiciest topic by far, as we were alluding to, here's Here's some co-posting from Schiff himself, who apparently has finally discovered the difference between collusion and conspiracy at a very convenient time.
I trust he, Adam Schiff, is relieved there is no collusion, and I hope he will apologize for his mistake. We all make them. The real virtue is to admit it. It would help us heal. You gonna apologize?
I think Mr. Giuliani would be wise to wait until the report is made public before making any pronouncements about vindication. And likewise, people should wait to determine just how incriminating it is. We know that the special counsel was not permitted to indict a sitting president, and we ought to see what evidence he produced, both on the issue of conspiracy as well as on the issue of obstruction of justice. So Mr. Giuliani would be wise to do something he has rarely done, and that is wait till we see the facts.
You have said, though, in the past there was significant evidence of collusion. How do you square that with Robert Mueller's decision not to indict anyone?
And there is significant evidence of collusion, and we've set that out time and time again, from the secret meetings in Trump Tower to the conversations between Flynn, the Russian ambassador, to the providing of polling data to someone linked to Russian intelligence, and Stone's conversation with WikiLeaks and the GRU through
Lucifer 2.
No, that's true. And as I pointed out on your show many times, there's a difference between compelling evidence of collusion and whether the special counsel concludes that he can prove beyond a reasonable doubt the criminal charge of conspiracy.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, too early to tell if Trump impeachment will be warranted by the Mueller report. T. Schiff. I think it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to apologize, and despite some calls, from allies of the president, he's not going to be stepping down either. Like, that was what kind of goyim do you think you're dealing with here? Like, or a politician, generally speaking, like, you're not going to shame someone into fucking resigning. Never mind a Jew.
No, but in a white country, I was thinking about this before we started the show, because it's like I see, you know, Adam Schiff, are you going to apologize for all the things that you've said? All these stupid like boomer takes on this stuff. It's like, no, he's not going to fucking apologize. That hook nose is never going to fucking apologize for anything. In fact, he's not going to stop at all. He's going to double down. And you would do well to understand that that's the fucking play. It's like, I demand that Adam Schiff resign from Congress. It's like, no, you are going to have to pry his fucking grubby little Jew fingers off the levers of power with a crowbar to get him out. He's not going to step down. Just like the people who thought like Rosenstein would like recuse himself or step aside after the wiretapping comments were made public. It's like, no, dude, you physically have to remove these people from power and bar them from entry forever.
They understand. They understand, like Moik was just saying, they understand what the goyim need to understand. You just fucking say no.
Yeah. Fuck you. Nah. And that's the thing. Is it just fuck you? No. And Tom Steyer, impeachment still possible without Russian collusion? I mean, there were billions of dollars riding on this. They're not going to stop. I mean, the narrative on this now is that, oh, collusion. I mean, OK, fine. There's no collusion. They won't even admit it, but they'll say, OK, whatever. Trump has still done a lot of impeachable shit. He's racist. And of course, you know, we said on the weekend show, we predicted this. That one of the many benefits of this Russian collusion narrative finally imploding and the Mueller probe being over is that now we can talk about race. We don't have to have this distraction about like a coup and like all this other stuff, because it was an attempt at a coup. It did fail. Nobody's going to do anything about it that needs to be done. So we might as well just fucking talk about race and then, you know, wait 48 hours and Jesse Smollett exonerated, all charges dropped. Yeah. So we're talking about race again. But anyway, we'll get to that a little bit later. The biggest loser in all this is the media. They have been really just on their back heels on this, haven't they? I mean.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know. Some people are still not getting the picture. I saw Joy Reid was out there saying the fact The fact this investigation takes place within the Justice Department, which Donald Trump essentially controls, and that got rid of him and that got rid of the problem, Jeff Sessions, who the one decent thing that he did was just recuse himself. This guy is not recused. It feels like the seeds of a cover up are here, you know, and that's another thing. People are sort of wondering why it's like this, why they can't see the full report, why the attorney general delivers a summary to Congress. And interestingly enough, that actually goes back to the days of Ken Starr, which I had read, but I thought Chris Christie offered a good explanation on whatever Sunday show he was on.
But here's the second part, and I think I'm glad Matt brought up Ken Starr. Remember what this special counsel statute is in response to. It's in response to the Ken Starr report. Congress said they didn't like what Starr did in laying out all that detail against people that were never going to be charged with a crime. And they made all of this absolutely dependent now upon the discretion of the attorney general.
So yeah. There you have it.
Yeah. Congrats. Great
because
job.
Because it
guys.
Was all out there. Once he delivered his report, like it was all out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, this is something that has sort of petered out now, but you know, anybody, you know, the MAGAPEDs, the MAGAPEDs, who are sort of celebrating victory, and Trump isn't doing as much of a victory dance as some might think. He's been very quiet on Twitter. Other people are sort of speculating that, oh, now the president is free and he's going to focus like a laser on policy and, you know, other gay shit like that. It's like, no, I mean, he may pivot to infrastructure. Like that is something that they have been talking about, but Donald Trump is not jumping for joy because there are gobs of sealed indictments headed for the Southern District of New York. And I saw a quote from Pajit Bahararara. Donald Trump is not out of legal jeopardy, according to The Hill. And he's not wrong. The Southern District of New York, Bahara noted, did not have the narrow mission that the special counsel had. They're aggressive and tough and independent and fair and apolitical. You think about ever trying to put a comma in there? Jesus Christ. Aggressive and tough and independent and fair and apolitical. God, man. And if there's things that they think they're worth pursuing and charging, they will do so. Now, the common refrain from people, which is true, is that they won't indict Trump until after he's out of office. That is true. But if there are indictments for Jared Kushner, or anybody else in the Trump administration or the Trump organization, there was a reason that this stuff was sent to New York, because things that happened at Trump Tower and things that happened within the jurisdiction of New York, that's the jurisdiction. That's where Jared Kushner lives. That's where all these people fucking live. And so that's why Trump isn't jumping for joy. That's why, you know, yeah, great. No Russian collusion. Everybody knew that that was all bullshit all along, but The real bad part about this probe and the really stupidity of Jared Kushner in pushing Trump to get rid of James Comey is that it set the eye of Sauron on Donald Trump and everything Donald Trump did. And there was never going to be a red line about his family or his finances. Like, they want to take this guy down. They want to take this guy down because Jared Kushner, well, at least Ivanka has presidential aspirations, and they want to kill this fucking thing in the womb. And so if you think that they're not going to go after Jared Kushner, they absolutely will. Just look at his father. They would love to get his father ensnared again with shit, because these people are a problem. Dude, Schumer and the fucking Kushners hate each other. And so, like, this, you know, the Jews are not monolithic. Like, they do. The Kushners are a fucking thorn in the sides of these people. They don't want them around. They want the Trump legacy fucking killed. They don't want, and if they can get Don Jr., they'll come after him too. But yeah, like, Bahar is not wrong. Like, the fact that this is, you know, people think that this is like Trump is free, the chains are broken. He's like, no, dude, they're not. It's just Mueller's piece of it is done.
Yeah, whatever happens to him, you know, after he's out of office, I'm not, you know, going to concern myself with right now. He need to, you know, ingratiate himself to me, you know, a little bit more, win back my favor. But as far as a lot of this other stuff in the meantime, these congressional probes, I would just come out and be like, look, you took a shot at the king and you fucking missed. And I'm just not entertaining any of this. And neither is anyone in the Republican Party if they want to keep their job.
Yeah. I mean, if you were going to be if you were putting yourself in Trump's shoes, like that's what you would do. And yeah, I noticed you had to put the preface in there about like if I don't really care one way or the other which way it goes. But I do care from the standpoint of this setting a precedent or not for how they sort of handle this stuff. I mean, like I said, I was sort of edging toward this before. The media was the biggest loser in all this. I have this montage. It's 3 minutes long. You'll probably have some good laughs on this and then we can sort of react to this. But this is a mega montage of like all the shit that the media has said and done going back to the very beginning on this whole thing. And, you know, it's one thing to call out fake news. Like most people understand that CNN and MSNBC are bullshit. But put yourself in the shoes of someone who had a vested interest in Donald Trump getting impeached or indicted or, you know, found guilty or had a vested interest in James Comey, Rosenstein, Bob Mueller. This is the bullshit that these people, the base voters of the Democratic Party, the sycophants, have been sold for 2 years. And they fucking lost big time. Here we go with this.
President Trump's former personal attorney is about to deliver a political bombshell.
Bombshell allegations.
A bombshell.
Drop a bombshell.
Bombshell. The really bombshell revelation.
Bombshell allegations.
Bombshell details.
What could be the biggest bombshell of them all?
We saw cold, hard evidence of the Trump campaign, indeed the Trump family, eagerly intending to collude.
Colluding with the leader of a hostile power.
I could certainly say with confidence that there is significant evidence of collusion.
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 There was collusion. If they just do their work and do their job, they will find out it was collusion.
The golden shower allegation.
Moscow prostitutes urinating.
He brought up what he called the golden showers thing.
The golden showers.
These golden shower allegations.
The golden shower allegation.
This golden showers claim.
Allegations that he had prostitutes pee on a bed. Russians had a so-called pee tape of prostitutes. The golden showers thing.
Are the walls closing in?
It seems to me that the walls are closing in on the president.
He feels the walls closing in.
The walls are closing in.
The walls sort of closing in.
The walls are closing in.
It feels like the walls are closing in.
He sees the walls closing in.
Those walls are closing in on him.
The walls are closing in on Donald Trump and his inner circle.
This is a scandal, a 15 on a 1 to 10 level.
This is a level that Richard Nixon never went to.
Worse than what Nixon did during Watergate.
Today I read the articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon, and everybody should go read Article 2 of it and how similar it is to what we've seen Trump do here.
It is a break the glass moment.
A slow motion Saturday night massacre.
The break the glass moment.
A slow motion Saturday night massacre.
A break the glass option.
Slow motion Saturday night massacre.
A break glass scenario in case there's a Nixon era Saturday night massacre.
We are all going through a slow motion multi-month Saturday night massacre.
Protests across the country. More than 900 are planned. Question as to whether or not this was the break glass moment.
Tonight, the push to impeach.
Obstruction of justice.
Boy, this looks like obstruction.
The level of obstruction of justice.
This is a constitutional crisis.
This could potentially be an impeachable offense.
Which could lead to impeachment.
The Constitution gives us one solution, which is to impeach.
This is an impeachable offense.
Will Democrats look to impeach the president?
Let's go to this issue of impeachment.
Donald Trump will be, must be impeached.
They are the kind of offenses that would call for impeachment.
Maybe grounds for impeachment.
The prospect of impeachment.
The drumbeats from Democrats for possible impeachment get louder.
If House members find impeachable offenses, it is not just the right thing to do. It's their duty.
The House is going to have little choice other than to start impeachment proceedings.
Oh, man, dude, think about how much hookers blow and cheese pizza Tom Steyer could have bought with all that fucking impeachment bucks, huh?
Yeah, cheese pizza indeed. Yeah, I mean, the media is really the one. I mean, it's like I know these people are straight up liars and the GOP base is at least suspicious of them. But these poor people who watch MSNBC, I mean, they were put on big time. Yeah, as Matt Taibbi has been doing good work on that. His first article was, comparing the whole ordeal to WMD. I heard the tedious guys talking about it and Mike sort of points out, you know, how it actually is and isn't like WMD. He was on that like a cheap suit. And then when he saw what the media was doing, and Schiff and these others were doing, because a lot of them are not, you know, these people are not going to fucking have any accountability. Hell, they're all Schiff's cousins. So he came out.
Jesus, literally.
and he had a follow-up article, you know, as Mueller probe ends, new Russiagate myths begin. That was also in Rolling Stone and just talking about a lot of this stuff. But
this shit's not going to stop. I mean, like, that's the thing. It's like this celebration, like even if we were on the Trump train and even if we were getting everything we wanted from Trump or even like 80% of what we wanted, we're hardly getting 10% of what we wanted. I would still be sitting here saying that like this shit ain't over. And like the pathway out of this for Tom Steyer, for Adam Schiff, for Rod Rosenstein, for James Comey, did I name a non-Jew? Well, Comey's like fucking in, you know, he's a spiritual Jew.
Spiritual. Yeah, exactly.
Chuck Schumer. I mean, all these people that had all of in the media, especially Jeff Zucker, all the people that had shit riding on this. The pathway out of it is to perpetuate that, you know, Mueller. Maybe they'll perpetuate that Mueller was in on it. Maybe they'll perpetuate that Mueller was corrupt. But the thing that they're going to try to do is make it seem like, oh, well, there were things going on that Mueller couldn't have found. And, you know, there was so much pressure to get rid of this probe and Bill Barr messed all this up. I mean, the pathway out of this is to perpetuate the Russia narrative.
There's a pathway out for supporters of Trump and the GOP too. You know, if they'll take it, you know, once again, just be like, no, we're not. We did this already. You know, the SDNY. We'll see what happens. When that time comes, are you guys gonna talk about how that's gonna take down Trump for another 2 years? You might want to fucking pump the brakes on that shit, Shlomo.
Yeah. Yeah, well, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it was great. Glenn Greenwald was on Tucker Carlson, and he was talking about this phenomena exactly.
Before it slips from collective memory, we should just restate once again that you, a liberal, were denounced as a Russian agent by other liberals. What was that like?
It was exactly what you would expect it to be. And I mean, it wasn't just Howard Dean. It was continuously on MSNBC, which, let me just say, should have their top host on prime time go before the cameras and hang their head in shame and apologize for lying to people for 3 straight years, exploiting their fears to great profit. These are people who were on the verge of losing their jobs. That whole network was about to collapse. This whole scam saved them. And not only did they constantly feed people for 3 straight years total disinformation, they did it on purpose, Tucker.
Yeah, the media was total. The media was saved not only. I mean, dude, remember before Donald Trump announced that he was running for president? The story was that the New York Times was headed toward bankruptcy, that these people were going up in smoke. I mean, we've seen it with the clickbait media has blown up.
No, that was a dynamic that a lot of people were bitching about during the primary. I mean, Trump's opponents and their supporters. And yeah, it was a real thing.
Well, and this was just another way that they could drive these views. But they I don't know whether they thought that they only would have to do this for so long and then they were eventually going to deliver on impeachment. And then that would buy them another 6 months of time and you know, whatever. But I mean, there is a day of reckoning coming for the legacy media. I mean, it's been coming for a long time. It's happened in clickbait journalism, but people just aren't interested. And when they, you know, it's Republicans don't trust the media. A lot of independents don't trust the media. Republicans and GOP and people on the right, I mean, just totally write it off. But again, these are the base voters for the Democratic Party who were like hung their entire hopes on people like Rachel Maddow and Chris Matthews to sort of guide them home on all this. And it just blew up. Their only option is to perpetuate this and double down, and like Schiff and Steyer and just the Copes will just go on forever.
I mean, they figured that there had to be something, you know, they figured that Trump, you know, had to be dirty. They have to find something. And regardless of you know, whatever they have up there and at the offices of SDNY, he kind of was remarkably fucking not dirty.
Yeah. Yeah. He wasn't. And, you know, then you have layered on top of this, you know, the thing that Mike was saying last week, and has been my thesis as well, is just that the media drives people totally insane. And the media has been driving people insane for a while. And who are the people? I mean, most sane people have totally disconnected from the mainstream media. Even independents, they don't really pay attention.
Well, the whole discussion is that's another thing that they were talking about on TDS. It's like the whole discussion controlled by you know who is just fucking asinine.
Yeah. Well, and then if you're someone who hangs on every word of these people as truth, like the base voters in the Democratic Party have, I mean, you're going to drive some of these people, I hope, come over to our side. There's a lot of whites still in the Democratic Party who just haven't fucking gotten it yet. But we've gotten a lot of people have come over to the alt-right from the Democratic Party, including you, Howard Schramm. But I mean, you know, that we're sort of running out of time for a lot of these people. And the ones that are left are the ones that either A, have power and don't want to give it up yet. I'm looking at you, Sherrod Brown. I'm looking at you. Who's the other guy? Connor Lamb. I mean, I could sit here and come up with a list a mile long. Tim Ryan. Just go on and on and on with all these guys. Imagine being the people that like hung on every word of this. And then they're driving people insane. I mean, right now is the time that I would be most concerned about violence from the left. J left perpetuated violence because this is, you know, the 3 years of buildup on this have been smashed. Oh,
yeah. I could see it. Someone fucking snap. It's like, not to play on the Hyde meme, but it's like, how does he keep getting away with this? He's destroying the country. Something has to be done.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's the reaction. And, you know, the media is responsible for these things. Media have been responsible for many of these things that have happened. I mean, and now they're trying to run away from this idea that, well, we're not investigators. It's like, OK, so all investigative journalists.
Zucker said,
yeah, fuck you. Yeah, so did
blah blah blah.
So did what's his name? The eunuch, Ryan Stelter, the boomer.
Oh, yeah, well he's sort of like Zucker's mini me though, right? Like whatever Zucker yeah. says, like he's out there
yeah.
doing the bit.
Yeah. Mini me,
but
more,
yeah.
more other ways than one, I'm sure.
Glenn Greenwald, you know, particularly with his, you know, the background of shit that he, you know, tends to report on and how, you know, he made his reporting bones. He points out that it's so much worse than that.
One of the things that you've been, I think, particularly acute on, and virtually nobody else has said this, is that those channels, both MSNBC and CNN, have hired and promoted a series of retired Intel officials, Jim Comey, John Brennan, and they come on and they basically parrot a certain set of talking points, but with the imprimatur of the agencies they once ran. What effect does this have, would you say, in American society?
It is completely corrupted journalism. The whole point of what we were supposed to learn from the debacle of WMDs in the Iraq War, which, by the way, this network that we're on was one of the leaders of, was the fact that we were not supposed to trust intelligence agencies when they say things without evidence. And not only did MSNBC and CNN use those people as their sources, they hired them as their news analysts. So if you turned on CNN or MSNBC, it was basically state TV. It was CIA TV.
Oh, man. Oh, that last bit was pretty laugh out loud the first time I heard it.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah. So, I mean, that's where I see this going is the media, in an attempt to sort of rehabilitate its image, is really just a pivot to the next thing. It's a smart move. I mean, from their perspective, it's a smart move. I mean, it's they mitigate the possibility of leftist violence reacting to the things that they perpetuated and then failed to deliver on. They save their credibility by saying, no, I don't know what Mueller's saying here, but fuck him. Like, all this is highly problematic. I mean, the show must go on, right? And then, of course, James Comey, in an attempt to rehabilitate his own image and try to help with the media, is he's coming out. And I'm sure that this was approved by Mueller. I'm sure they too have talked. This was perfectly approved talking points. But Comey has come out and said that he finds Mueller's obstruction decision, quote, confusing. I have great faith in Bob Mueller, but I just can't tell from the letter why he didn't make these questions when the entire rationale for a special counsel is to make sure the politicals aren't making the key charging decisions. I'm really confused by all of this. So, yeah, they're just going to call into question the integrity of the report. Comey will do so without trying to call into question the integrity of Mueller. And they may try to shift the blame on, it's just his investigators are dumb, like that. We need to take another crack at this because they didn't do a good job. And that's going to be the narrative of people like Adam Schiff and Gerald Nadler. It's like, all right, well, Bob Mueller got us started. It was a good start. Thanks for all that, Bob. And they'll fixate on that key sentence that you read before, which is that this does not exonerate Donald Trump. And they're just going to run with this forever. So it didn't go away.
The reality is that he left that to the attorney general, and in this case also Mr. Rosenstein, and then they exonerated the president.
Yes.
They're trying to people are saying it's like, oh, because nothing was the matter wasn't addressed specifically by Robert Mueller. It's within the purview of Congress, to address it. It's like, no, it's supposed to be addressed by the attorney general as Bob, straight shooter Bob, laid out. And everything worked exactly the way that it was supposed to. I was just reading this article about people starting to turn on Rosenstein. I hadn't seen that yet.
Yeah. Well, it's only a matter of time, right? So they're going to try to call him to testify. And of course, the proper response from the GOP at this point is to have a second special counsel come after Hillary and do all the things that were promised. None of that's going to happen. You have Lindsey Graham like nibbling around the air. I'm going to ask the tough questions about these various things with the FISA. It's just not going to fucking do anything. It's not going to go anywhere. They're not going to do anything. And even if there was, I heard somebody make the case today that, like, even if there was a second special counsel announced tomorrow to look into Hillary and Obama and all that, that's just like another 2-year timer being started. That's going to go on forever and ultimately probably deliver nothing. What they need is indictments, but we all know that's never going to happen. They just need to go arrest these people and then ask questions later. That's how we do things. But that's just a fantasy world. That's not going to happen. So instead, you're going to have like a tepid sort of reaction from the GOP. And it's not going to be anything. It's not going to do anything. Nobody's going to get indicted. And they should be. And that's going to be that. That's pretty much how this ends. So there's no victory here. It's just, they just want to try. I saw this article about Mueller delivers a gift to Trump in the 2020 election. Yeah, it's like a cheap rhetorical gift. It's, no collusion, but it's like, OK, it's not going away, though. And now they're going to start coming after the legitimate shitty things that Trump has done, financially and, shitty things. Potentially illegal things that his son-in-law has done. And because of Trump's inability to say no to Ivanka and Jared, by extension, Jared, he's really made it much more difficult for himself. This would be a huge victory if he had gotten wise on Jared Kushner and sent Jared packing immediately. If he had just prevented his daughter from marrying this fucking guy from begin with, I'll be in a much better position. But here we are, right? So that's pretty much where that is.
How different things could have been. You know, I can just see Trump, you know, strolling out of like Mar-a-Lago with Ivanka, like, you know, after you know, one of the early meet and greets, just like, what, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
you're not marrying that guy.
Yeah, I have some good stories about that to tell this weekend, but we'll save that for the weekend show. I don't know. We're at 55. Do you want to even, I mean, do you want to try to knock out Smollett and some of this other shit before we go to break here? Or what do you want to do?
Oh, yeah, sure, we can. I mean, I'm sure everyone is keenly aware of what's going on with Jussie Smollett. I mean, really, the big news that I saw today, which I found shocking, you know, but not. I mean, you have the involvement of this Fox woman that was sort of a storyline even before the charges were dropped. So that's continuing to develop with the Chicago police and other entities wanting a further accounting of exactly how that worked. But what caught my eye this afternoon was an article in Vox saying basically Fox Studio, yeah, Empire and Fox Studios issue firm support. Now, that's sort of a sensational headline. I don't know how firm it was, but all the same, it was there. Jussie Smollett has always maintained his innocence, read the statement issued by 20th Century Fox Television and Fox Entertainment, which, like, that's part of Disney now, right? As I seem to recall, that's how the whole loot was divvied up. Anyway, we are gratified on his behalf that all the charges against him have been dismissed. And later on in the piece, it says, following the news of Smollett's dropped charges, the Empire Writers Room also seemed to indicate support of Smollett with a tweet that seemed to imply that all is well with Empire going forward. You know, just saying, see you all Wednesday, blah, 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 blah. You know, and there's some sort of picture, I guess, that had him or something like that. So, I mean, at first I was like floored by this. And then I was like really mad about it. But then I was like, this is kind of exactly what I want, because this is going to keep it, you know, being a scandal. You know, the people on the right, you know, the people who we can reach are going to, this is going to further entrench all the beliefs that we want entrenched about blacks in the media and on and on and on. So, yeah, dude, put him back on the show, dude, make him a fucking central character, you know, after he, you know, was at the low point of all this. They were, it's like, oh, you know, we're paring down the rest of his scenes. Like, you're not even going to see him, and he's just going to be off the show. So, you know, make him a star, put him there with fucking, what the hell is that guy's name? Terrence Howard.
Yeah. Just some other black that I don't give a fuck about. Yeah. I mean, that is kind of, you know, the I'm sure everybody's heard the.
Well, I only know who Terrence Howard is because he's sort of mulatto ish and was being pushed very hard in like the mid aughts when I still sort of consumed that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the tedious guys were saying, I managed to get watch or to listen to the midweek. Tedious, the Wednesday tedious, because it came out early. Usually don't get a chance to do that. But yeah, the take that the system is fragile and that they can't determine which is the best path forward. It's like, do we perpetuate the fake race hate crime hoaxes and all this shit? Or do we, you know, teach this guy a lesson and, you know, we don't want more fake hoaxes? Like, so. And then you have Fox, who is the, not Fox, the cable channel, but the,
I think it's Fox Broadcast.
No, studios. The attorney, FOXX, the other Fox. Yeah, then you have Fox sort of making this move to exonerate this guy. Yeah, it's like, put him back on the show. Rub it in everybody's faces that, you know, because the police, who was it that leaked all the supporting evidence now? Like, it was I think it was the cops or somebody leaked all the information. It's like this whole notion. Yeah, no, that,
it was like CPD, you know, lower level guys, I'm fairly certain.
Nice. Yeah. See, and that throws their whole shtick, because they don't have full control over all the pieces of this. Right. This is the fragility of the system. They don't have the ability to deliver an exoneration for Jussie Smollett. They don't have that ability. They wanted to try, but that's what that dumb Fox FOXX doesn't understand. And she's been a problem for a while. Like, she doesn't understand that they don't have the ability, like, you know, of course, doesn't understand. She's black. She doesn't get the fact that you can't do this because it's going to get leaked. It's going to blow up in your face. Like, the Smollett's lawyers ran with this narrative that, oh, he's totally innocent. See, this was nothing to see here. But it's like, nah, they just leaked all the evidence. So, yes, please put Jussie Smollett front and center. Please have all the networks stand up for him. Let's continue to show this farce for what a fucking mockery it is, and just, you know, make this big and have there be a big fight. Like, the whole purpose of this was that it would go away, and Jussie Smollett, like, memory hole this, don't talk about it, the guy's gonna get charged with something, and like, we'll just forget this even happened. But by doing this, the white pill is that, yeah, now it's this big racial issue again. And it's like, oh, look, you know, and then, of course, boomer cons are all like Hollywood privilege, leftist privilege. It's like, no, this is non-white privilege.
Yeah, no. And put the lie to that.
What
she was just like, I forget exactly what her tweet was, but, you know, it was basically about skin color, you know, telling everyone that it's not Hollywood privilege or being wealthy or well connected, you know. And then I think Will Westcott tweeted out, you know, pictures of all the individuals involved at every level here and the major players in this decision making process in good old Cook County. And none of these people are white. And but that's, I mean, like, this is it. Like, this is what you fucking get, right?
Yeah, dude.
This is what happens, Larry.
Yeah, dude. The Jews are trying so hard to sort of like promote non-whites, and blacks especially, because blacks, they have to sort of placate them so that they don't get riots and other things that like make white people very aware about what's going on. So they try to placate them. It's just like, why don't they just give this guy a raise? It's like, Smollett, like, next time you want a raise, just like ask, like, don't go out and perpetuate a hate crime that's not real and then cause this big problem. Because you have any idea how much this is costing us in like PR cover up guy? Like, can we just stop? Because like the Jews would love to divest from black people and having to deal with black, because it's a very expensive problem. It's always been an expensive problem for whoever has to deal with them.
Yeah.
God, you know, it's, like,
if they're fucking in the picture at all, like, however you're, whatever you're trying to do, it's just going to be a problem.
Yeah. And it's like, this guy, all he wanted was a raise. And so he wanted to get, you know, noticed and drive up his popularity and whatever by perpetuating this thing. But it's like, dude, it sort of blew up in your face and it's blowing up.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, even Rahm Emanuel had to come out, you know, and he was issuing very, like, you know, for the shit libs who believe all this, that like hate crime, you know, the hate crimes are like a real thing that happens, like how fucking craven it is to, you know, to, you know, cast aspersions on, you know, the real victims, quote unquote, in these instances, like.
Yeah, and like
speaking of real victims and real criminals, like, what do you do with the two Nigerians? Like, they either fucking did the thing or they were paid by this guy. You know, it's one of my favorite movie lines, good old Harvey Keitel and National Treasure. Somebody's got to go to jail.
Yeah, well, and that somebody was supposed to be Jussie Smollett, because it does not benefit them to have these hoax hate crimes out in full view for everybody. Like, this was not this is something that they didn't. This is a very uncomfortable narrative that they had to handle. And, you know, they don't want, it's like black people, like that we're not doing this anymore. OK, like the didn't do nothing shit like has got to stop, especially when it comes to this level. Like it isn't this universal application of didn't do nothing. Like your didn't do nothing is like getting in the way of us trying to like, well, that's ratchet the thing. Yeah, down. That's the whites. Thing.
It's like, and if you are going to do this bit, like you need to not do it in a way where, like, you know, it becomes a national story because it's like a fucking, you know, compelling social justice narrative. And then turns out to be all a hoax with like black malfeasance and fucking rented Nigerian fucking rent-a-hoods and all this shit. Like,
yeah. Well, and then now it's like,
oh, God.
Well, now the story has extended to like black prosecutors who are going to be complicit and didn't do nothing. And, yeah. You know.
And then fucking, you know, even basic bitch GOPers can do the like Chicago bit and fucking say no more. Right.
Yeah. Chicago. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's great because, you know, that's why I said earlier when we were talking about Bob Mueller, it's like, yeah, now the collusion thing is not a thing anymore. So now we can focus on race issues. And then, like, you know, cue Jussie Smollett exonerated from all 16 felonies. Like, what was that, Monday? Was that Monday that happened? I feel like it was. I feel like I was where I was when I saw that. Yeah.
Seems about right.
Yeah. So it's like, here we go. This is, and that's the white pill. You know, the tedious take is that the white pill is that the, you know, the system is fragile. And yes, it is. Like, it cannot decide what to do. And this is the other white pill is that, like, this didn't do nothing has gotten involved and has perpetuated Jussie Smollett's attempt. The lawyers have done it as well. And now they're not going to be able to put this away because people are so pissed. And like, it forces like Rahm Emanuel to come out and say something. Like Mike was saying, they're doing damage control. It's also because Rahm is the mayor. You know, he's basically the head guy for the cops, and the cops are pissed.
He doesn't want to end up like Bill de Blasio, you know, going to a police funeral and everyone has their fucking back turned.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the fact that the cops like actually wanted to do the right thing here because they're so fucking tired of this garbage. And then the Obamas are involved. And that's like boomer catnip.
Yeah. Fucking Connie Chung or Trisha Takanawa or whatever the fuck that bitch's name is.
Yeah. Well, I thought isn't it interesting that, of course, the Obamas don't have a Jewish lawyer. It was like, Michelle Obama doesn't have a Jewish lawyer. Why isn't that? Why is that? Because they're somewhat woke on these things. Of course, they're not going to have a Jewish lawyer. But watch, somebody will probably be able
to. It's not what Jeremiah Wright said.
Yeah. Whew. So that's Jussie Smollett. So this isn't going to go away now. Like the going away was the primary goal.
No, like I said, I went through these. I cycled through these reactions like in 2 seconds. Like I said, I was pissed. I was floored. And then I was like, this is fucking great.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, the learned helplessness of like, I predicted this, like, see how silly that looks now. Like, I predicted this. Yeah, you predicted this. It's like, no, this is not going away. And Jussie Smollett is going to become the avatar of didn't do nothing, and didn't do nothing is getting away with put him back on the show. That's why I was saying, like, it would have been better if he had just gone to whatever, you know, Jew is in charge of the empire and been like, give me $100,000 more per year. Otherwise, like, I'm going to go out and do all this stuff. and they'll probably just give these guys more money.
I'm
going
to go out and, you know, be a real black person and be very public about it.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. And now they're just, I mean, he has benefited blacks in one way because now everybody that was wronged in this, like everybody that had egg all over their face. Remember all the actors who had to come out and sort of cuck on this? I was actually surprised that they did cuck, but there were overwhelming numbers of leftist cucks who had come out in support of Smollett initially. And then when the evidence started mounting, especially with like the Nigerians and like paid with the check and fucking the letter and like all this FBI open. Now, the FBI is not going to do anything. It's a political law enforcement agency. So, but like normies don't know that. So I was surprised that these leftists were coming out and saying how ashamed and embarrassed they were.
Well, they have to. I mean, you know, he did offend them greatly in like faking a hate crime and getting caught in a very public and sensational way. But beyond that, like these people have to have this creeping feeling somewhere in their hind brain that like, this is all going to fucking fall apart very soon if they don't watch their step.
Yeah. And like hope that the Jewish PR teams like have all this covered and that the media is going to please make this go away. Like, please, can this just stop? Just make it stop. Please. I don't want to talk about Chelsea Smollett anymore. It's like, yeah, but here you go. And see, this has given those people what they've wanted, because now that they get to come out and say, like, some of them are just going to be smart and shut the fuck up, because the CPD leaking all this stuff.
Like, don't know how to do that anymore.
No, some of them.
It's like, yeah, I don't have anything to say. Move along.
So, well, some of them now, though, I think are going to be smarter because they, you know, the CPD leaks this shit and it's like, I can't really go full bore in the way that Smollett's lawyers did. Like, it would be really dumb for some of these people to sort of run out in front of this and be like, see, I told you Smollett was innocent. Ha ha. Owned. It's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, like no, nobody's. That's the funny thing. Like, nobody is doing that.
Yeah. Well, because everybody knows. Well, the only people.
Everybody knows. Yeah. So that's
except
that's
for the Empire.
It's like, this is like fucking late stage Soviet Union shit. Like, well, everybody knows. And, you know, it's everyone. People are just going to have to fucking watch this charade, you know, carry on when everyone is aware of how ludicrous this is. Yeah, they fucking didn't do nothing. Yeah. Tyrone, you're out. Jussie, you're in.
Well, I guess it depends on what the Empire. I mean, the Empire is probably, I don't know what the Empire is going to do. I mean,
well, they were suffering the lowest ratings that they've ever had.
Right. But it's not because Smollett wasn't there. Do you really think it was because they cucked on Smollett, or do you think it's because they were in the middle of all this? I mean, do you think their ratings are going to bounce back by like putting Jussie back into the scripts? I mean,
no, I don't think so. I think they're in a bad situation, you know, one way or the other. But yeah. I mean, they're regrettably, I'm sure they're like, you know, white people who watch that show. I remember when that show started, dude, they hyped the fuck out of it. Fox did before, because I was, you know, they'd be watching other things. Dude, I think they were advertising that shit during fucking NASCAR.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. I'm sure they were. I remember. They're going to do that with a lot of these shows, like, because, I mean, dude, all the hype is, you know, I don't even watch TV, but when I do sort of walk past the television, it's like, dude, the number of commercials and everything that have just been just, I don't know, just invaded by black people. It's just insane. But yeah, so that's really where Smollett is headed. The FBI probe ain't going anywhere. There are calls for, you know, like if we had a serious attorney general, they would be filing charges against Jussie Smollett at the federal level. But they're not going to do that. It's not going to. We don't have a serious country. So this is just, you know, like you said, it's late stage Soviet Union tier shit. And yeah, the story's not dead. That's the big white pill. How long will it go on? And, you know, how many people will. You know, this will be the thing, you know, like we always hear people that came in with Trayvon. People came in with the Baltimore being burned down. I'm going to go out on a limb and make a prediction that we're going to have new people that show up and say that it was Jussie Smollett that got them woke. You know.
Yeah. I'd say it's about time for another such type of event.
Yeah. Now, people, you know, the devil's advocate argument to that is that, oh, everybody that's already awake is, you know, everybody is already awake by now. Like, there's not going to be new people coming in. But I think that's sort of grug. I think there are more people that this is going to be the thing that shakes them loose. And it's good. We'll welcome them. And then ask them, where have you been all this time?
dude, there will be some like white Gentiles that don't come over no matter what. But. That number ultimately is very small.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a break. We don't have a bit this week. No Albion dispatches. Alfred the Average will be back next week. Oh, no. 2 weeks from now. We have Vortrekker next week. But we'll be right back after this little bumper right here on Midweek Fashion Nation.
You're listening to the show that changed your weekend forever. Fash the Nation. Fash the Nation.
And we are back. We are pivoting now to immigration, where the Democratic controlled House has failed to override the president's veto on the national emergency, the resolution to suspend the national emergency. That was their next big play in that particular field. The chamber voted 248 to 181 in favor of overriding the veto, falling short of the roughly 290 votes that constitutes the necessary two-thirds majority. Trump issued the veto earlier this month to push back on a review from Congress. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. The vast majority of Republicans in the lower chamber stood with Trump. However, 14 GOP lawmakers opted to side with the Democrats, for various whatever reasons they had, joining in with a further rebuke of President Trump. Following the vote, the president took to social media to praise the GOP lawmakers other than the 14, saying thank you to the House Republicans for sticking together in the big win today on the border. Today's vote simply reaffirms congressional Democrats are the party of open borders, drugs and crime. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, we know that. But so that said, you're going to have to work kind of twice as hard here.
Well, in what way are the borders existing under Trump? I mean, party of open borders. Isn't that you, guy? I mean, we have news that catch and release has started back up because the system is at a breaking point. Trump has the power to stop this. Legal immigration has increased. So who is all? I mean, how is that not open borders? How is that not open border? I mean, I guess you could make the argument that like Democrats would come in and quadruple the number of people and they would just stand aside and let people in. But I mean, nobody wants to hear this shit. Oh, party of open borders and that they're not tough on crime. Shut the fuck up. None of this is changing. And it's like, yeah, oh, great. The House sustained Trump's veto. They couldn't stop Trump from putting tits on a tranny with the wall. I mean, the wall isn't going to stop this. It would mitigate this, but this is not. There's a number of other things that have to be in place with the wall.
You have these just all of our asinine regulations on immigrations, and that's perfectly evidenced by all these quote unquote temporary programs that were never intended to be temporary. That's patently obvious now that someone has actually tried to suspend them and, immediately were met with 30 lawsuits. But the asylum laws in particular are just completely Jewish. And it's when people are castigating Trump for trying to do, wait in Mexico and things that even attempt to mitigate these extremely subversive policies, they point out it's like, oh, this is their right under international law. So, yeah, the post World War II liberal or asylum. And we've said this before. And obviously so have others, like it's just an anti-white international racket.
Well, and when there's a momentary period in which there's progress made on immigration, i.e. when Jeff Sessions was in charge of it, then they say, oy vey, it's just like another Holocaust. Don't you remember when the Jews were turned away from America? We can't have that anymore. So that's what they pivot to whenever there's some semblance of success. But what is catch and release? Yeah. What is catch and release and knowing that it's going on, but open borders? How about that? I saw Tucker was interviewing Don Jr. on his, you know, his father's presidency. And I mean, I understand like Tucker doesn't want to come in the crosshairs of Trump and whatever, but like it was just such a softball interview. And it's like, God damn it, Tucker. Like, why don't you ask him, how come your father reversed the position on legal immigration? Because Don Jr. was just going out there with like these stupid, shitty fucking MAGA-ped talking points. And Tucker was just like nodding his head in the next softball question. It's like, okay, Tucker, I get it. Like, you know that Donald is watching this interview and then he's going to tell Don Jr. what a great job he did and everything else. But it's like, what a missed opportunity. What a missed opportunity for a direct conduit to Don Jr. It's like, I mean, I like Tucker, but it's like, come on, man. Like, can you take some fire here so that your dad gets like, you know, not your dad, but Don Jr.'s dad gets fucking put on the spot on this shit? But it's like, no, it's like the entire interview was just like, wow, what a big win with the Mueller report, huh, Don? And then, you know, 5 minutes of talking points. It's like, you know, manufacturers really coming back. Hey, Don Jr. Yeah, it's really coming back. 5 minutes of talking. Not one question. Not one question. And it's like all the criticisms of this shit. It's like nobody, people who are willing to criticize it, they won't even mention Kushner. Kushner is behind all of this. Kushner is behind all of this. Again, Donald Trump wouldn't be off the hook if Kushner wasn't there, because he would probably have tendencies, but Donald has bad tendencies. But Kushner has made it a lot worse. And all of this shit, like I'm sure that the restraint that is being exercised about doing anything about these problems that are so fucking obvious, like number of illegals trying to cross U.S. border hits 13-year high. 2 weeks ago, it was a 10-year high. Now it's a 13-year high. More caravans moving in.
And the trend line is only upward. Like all of this, you know, this dynamic that's in place that's attracting these people here. You know, nothing is going to be done. And the GOP, like I want to see, you know, not from us or the alt-light, but like, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like, you know, I don't mean to sound cold hearted, but this is exactly what everyone was talking about, you know, with how you incentivize and disincentivize people. The family separation thing that everyone is still bitching about, you know, like Willie Horton, because it fucking worked, should never have stopped. I want to see regular run of the mill GOP people saying that shit, because it's crystal fucking clear.
Well, the executive order that ended the family separations, Trump's executive order that ended them, that stopped them from happening. Jared Kushner. Written all over it. And he convinces this orange fucking bloviating boomer that it's a good idea. And then he's going to win big. You're going to win big, Donald. You want to get these people on your side. You want to cut card on all this shit. And he fucking laps it up, because Donald Trump, his weakness is vanity, and he wants to be liked. And that's all you have to tell him, is that people are going to love you. People are going to love you for this, Donald. And he does it.
Yeah. I mean, between that and the whole, you know, last person that he talked to.
Yeah.
Dude, it's that shit is extremely rustling. And
well, they know that it's this very elaborate Jewish gatekeeping operation that is at the White House. Ivanka is in every fucking meeting of any import that goes on. She's there to make sure that the last people, and Jared does this too. That's why they don't want the White House visitor logs published. They're published now. They weren't published for a long time. They one of them made private again, because they understand this fundamental truth, which is that Donald Trump is 99% the last person that he talked to. And he watches a lot of television. So it's this like feedback loop of Jewish narrative on Fox pushing their shitty agenda, the neocon agenda, the cheap labor agenda that's always been there. And then the feedback loop is, oh, Donald is doing such good things. People are going to love him for it. And Donald hears these things, and it's like more of this. And so they're the Jewish gatekeepers that make sure that the last person that Donald hears from is somebody who's going to put this kind of shit in his head. And this is what you get.
I remember reading all these articles, especially that one in the New Yorker, which people credit, with saying that that's why, Fox News isn't getting a Democratic debate, even though they haven't had one in 15 years. People were citing that New Yorker article about how this is like the Fox News presidency. It's like, don't you get it, you fucking faggots? Aside from him being impeached, like, this is as good as it was going to get. Fox News is bullshit.
Yeah, well, and Fox News is going to be another one of these big casualties when no more Republican presidents are possible. They're already shifting gears. Lachlan Murdoch, who is very close friends with Jared Kushner, by the way. It never ends. The rabbit hole fucking never ends. Just in case you thought it did, it never ends. Lachlan Murdoch, very good friends with Jared Kushner.
What a fucking gay name, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. There's some Scots who might take issue with that, but it is a gay name. And this is the white propaganda shift that we were talking about. They are going to retool Fox News. They are going, Donna Brazile is now a commentator there. Fox News is going to be indistinguishable from 2010 CNN in like 6 months. Just wait. I hope Tucker is around until 2020, but I don't think he's going to be. And I saw that Sean Hannity, you're a great American, is also looking to go elsewhere. And of course, elsewhere is what? Live-in TV? That's right, I said it.
Yeah, CRTV. No, I mean, the best, the best we could hope for is like a Breitbart TV coming online, and the people who are aware of this shift going on at Fox. Obviously the very self-interested figures at Fox, but the people who are sort of aware of this are going to, do everything that they can to try and prevent that from happening. And, instead of Trump trying to lobby Fox News, they'll be trying to lobby him.
Well, Fox is trying to synthesize, especially with like Paul Ryan on the board at Fox News now. They're trying to synthesize what the Republican Party always failed at doing through the ballot box, which is to create this big tent conservatism. So they're going to synthesize it on Fox News by hiring people like Harris Faulkner and Donna Brazile and these black faces, non-white faces with non-white opinions, Juan Williams, to name several. And it's going to get, they're going to try to do this and it's not going to work. It's going to fail because
Donna Brazile is like viscerally disgusting. Yeah, I thought that when I was watching her on whatever program she was on at the time, when I considered myself a Democrat voter, it's like, dude, I do not care what this person has to say. I just don't.
No. And boomers are dying off. So Fox News also has that against it as well. It's like your core audience is like, in reverse mortgage territory heading toward the nursing home. Like it's all ogre very soon. It's just so funny to watch this happen. So they're going to try to rejuvenate Fox News by putting some young blood in there. Tucker has been great for Fox. Fox could be a really great network if it just multiplied its Tucker and, started firing people like Chris Wallace and Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham, or at least had a little talk with, Goy like Hannity, and said, look, guy, this is the new direction we're going. You want to keep doing this garbage about cheering on rockets in Syria? You can get the fuck out of here, Sean. But no. Those people are going to be right at home. And if they go too hard, then some of them are going to leave and go elsewhere for more conservative networks. But Fox already has a bad reputation. It already has the reputation among leftists that it's in the tank for conservatives. And they're never going to, Fox is not going to reinvent itself as a liberal network. They're going to try to be kosher conservatism that is big tent. And Paul Ryan is going to be the guy that sort of leads that way. And, they're hiring other failed ex, elected officials from the GOP to be part of their network. No.
I think they run the risk of sort of souring the milk. I don't know how much cuckier they can be than they are right now and get away with it. Because one of the things I did after I left the Democratic Party was start watching Fox News. And I was like, this is not... I was told I would be receiving the opposite of this.
Well, didn't
this
you
is
sort
fucking
of start,
garbage?
Didn't you sort of start watching like your methodology has always been watch the opposing network to whoever is in power. Yeah, like if it's Obama is in office, see what Fox is saying about Obama. If Bush is in office, then see what MSNBC is saying about Bush.
Yeah, so you are correct. That does dovetail nicely with me walking away from the Democratic Party in the wake of the 2008 primary.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, these networks are not that old. I mean, what was it? Fox was 1995. I want to say CNN
was
95,
96.
And CNN has been around since, I think, the late 80s. I want to say 90, maybe something like that. I remember
it was like 88 or 89.
Yeah, I remember watching Desert Storm footage like as a kid on CNN. That was the first time that I really sort of noticed as a very young coming of age kid that, wow, news is like on all the time now. It's not just like at 6 o'clock. It's 24/7 coverage of like shit happening in the world.
Yeah, for a while I thought it was cool and could potentially be an instrument for the betterment of humanity. Yeah, it's not.
No, I just I would always just be mesmerized by like some big happening that would go on, and then you would sort of be like, oh, nothing really is happening for a while, and then something big would happen like 9/11, and then nothing would happen for a while. Now we're sort of like in a phase where just like big shit is happening just every day, and there's almost a numbness to it. We're not even going to have a chance to talk about Michael Avenatti today. But, you know, it's just like that would have been a story 20 years ago or 15 years ago. Like that would have been huge, wall to wall.
No, I mean, that's something that we were, dealing with in hour one. It's like there's so much shit going on. It's like, wait a minute. What day did this happen? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. Yeah, it's totally insane. And the immigration stuff, going back to that, I mean, the only reason that we're getting any sort of news on this at all is thanks to the Daily Caller and Boomer Bart, because otherwise Fox News talking about this? I haven't watched Fox News. I only watch Tucker. So I don't know. I don't even know. Like, is Fox even talking about the fact that immigration is as bad as it is? I mean,
yeah, I know. You're for sure asking the wrong guy. They probably got Ralph Peters on there, talking about Syria and shit.
No, Peters. Don't you remember Peters like stormed off of Fox and is never coming back?
Oh, was that because of their quote unquote support of Donald Trump?
Yes. As I recall, yes, Ralph Peters is not coming back. Ralph is like this. I don't know. This is he even a full bird colonel? He's just
No. I think he was an 05 and he, here's another guy like Rosenstein. The guy looks like he weighs, 125 fucking pounds soaking wet.
Yeah. And his balls have never dropped like Rosenstein. So yeah, Ralph Peters is the guy with the notorious little voice. It's like, Jesus, you led troops at some point in your life? Jesus Christ, look at this fucking guy. Oh man. So yeah, that's immigration in a nutshell. Yeah, Donald's getting his wall, his big beautiful tits on a tranny, but they're coming in droves, and yeah, catch and release is open borders, and catch and release plus not acknowledging it but being aware of it is open borders presidency. I mean, what else do you want? And I made this point already, which is that Donald Trump saying that we need more workers for factories, we want people to come in legally, is worse than amnesty, because this is amnesty. It's like they make this big deal about these people like living in the shadows. It's like, what is acknowledgement and like a legal permit really do for you? You're going to get a driver's license anyway. You're going to drive a fucking car anyway. You're going to get money under the table anyway. In fact, legalization is probably the last thing these people want, because they're actually going to have to fucking pay taxes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why would you want to do that? Like, being legal is like is a great fucking position to be in.
Yeah. No, I mean, as long as they can, get citizenship for their anchor babies, you know, provided that's an ambition. And for most of them, it is. I mean, you know, I don't know how many of these people ever plan on going home. But yeah, no, it's like, you know, it's these you have these, whether it's, you know, sometimes it's in front of the fucking White House or various other locations in Washington. But these people get together, you know, and are protesting and are totally in like fifth column fashion, advocating for changes to our immigration policy. If these people were living in the shadows, shit like that will get rolled on and be like, yeah, you know, don't even try to run. There's we have a perimeter set up that you can't even see, like you're fucking going downtown and then you're getting deported immediately.
Yeah. Have you noticed that the stories about ICE raids have stopped as well? Did you notice that? There's no more, you know, no knock raids.
Well, now that you mention it, I have.
Yeah, there's no more stories about ICE going in to have breakfast at, you know, some diner.
They're all fucking, like, you know, they're all, you know, running to the store for formula and shit.
Yeah, I mean, this is the ICE is too busy right now getting contracts with Greyhound to make sure that everybody gets deposited in various places around the country since catch and release is back on. And that's nothing to say against the ICE guys. This is just following orders. But yeah, no more ICE raids. Whatever happened to the whatever happened to what's her name? You know, I can't even remember this. Yarrabee Farms. Whatever happened to Yarrabee Farms? I want to go visit Yarrabee Farms. Maybe somebody should go visit Yarrabee Farms.
Yeah. And whatever happened to I was only following orders being no excuse. How many million fucking times have I heard that in my life?
Yeah, what are what Yarrabee Farms is up to? Yeah, what were they up to? They still doing good business? These fucking faggot GOP Yarrabee Farms people, they're still doing well? They still got illegals? They still got trailers on their property? Of course they do. Nobody's doing anything about it. Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, they probably move the trailers, I don't know, further into the woods or something. Yeah, there's not, that's about all you can do out there.
Further into the woods. Really much. They probably applied for a low income housing grant, and they're probably going to have that something built in that little town in Iowa, and they're just going to go there and get the government to pay for their housing.
We need some Section 8 here.
Yeah. Yeah, we gotta add some diversity to this little town where there are not enough Hispanics here to comprise a fucking jury. You know,
well, that's the thing about Greyhound. Like those people. Yeah, oh my God, don't even get me started. But yeah, those people are being, you know, they're not being bused to completely random locations. Like they don't want another, 10,000 illegal squad of mounds in New York City. They need to be in like Whiteville, middle America.
Yeah. Well, wherever there's a Greyhound bus station that is, you know, in a 96% non-Hispanic white county, they're just going to drop them off, fend for themselves. But yeah, it's like if you're an illegal.
Greyhound was always sort of like a fucking septic system anyway.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, if you're illegal, you get to vote. You get to have a driver's license. You don't have to pay taxes. And if you're in a place like New York or California, you have people treating you like you're fucking saints. I mean, literally the camp of the saint. Like you are being treated like you're a saint. Like you can do no wrong. And that's the biggest danger of this whole thing is once blacks, especially, but also Hispanics, sort of realize that they can really just get away with literally murder, whatever they want to do. This whole thing is just going to go off the rails so quick because they haven't quite realized that. They still like sort of believe in this meme of like white institutional power that is going to like, you know, lynch them at any moment. That's not going to happen. These people, they can do whatever the fuck they want and nothing's going to happen to them. I, you know, the Molly Tibbetts thing, speaking of Yarrabee Farms, I don't even, you know, I hate to be so blackpilled, but like, do you really think this guy's going to, you know, it's going to be just like, it's going to be just like Kate Steinle. And they're going to figure out some way why, you know, he can't be tried there or whatever. I mean, look at this. They can't abide that this guy is going to get off or is going to get some sort of serious sentence. I mean, he deserves an electric chair, like a public televised prime time electric chair. But the reality is he's probably going to get a couple years, maybe. I don't know. what's going to happen with that, but it ain't going to be good. They're not going to allow that to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably best that I don't recall exactly what I was about to say. Something about Leo Frank.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's all there really is with immigration. You want to pivot to Democrats and talk about some of the 2020 contenders? I guess before we do that, we got a shill for Tulsi Gabbard. And the reason for that is I think I got an email from somebody. We sort of did this at the end of the weekend episode, and I guess some people didn't catch it because we did it at the very end. But like, you know, we're not like supporting non-white presidential candidates. OK, just so we're clear. But we are supporting the meme that this causes chaos within the Democratic Party, especially when these non-white Democratic candidates take up positions that are not part of the kosher sandwich. They don't fit in between the two buns. And Tulsi Gabbard is one of those. And she needs about 20,000 more donors to qualify to be on the debate stage. And, you know, it would be great if she were on the debate stage. So I think $1 qualifies, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, it's the same dynamic with Chairman Yang. One of the prerequisites to qualify for the Democratic debates, as we sort of laid out in one of episodes past, is just a certain number of unique donors. So
yes,
whatever you have to do to register on that.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, some people might have qualms with this, but like, why wouldn't you want Tulsi Gabbard on the debate stage talking about Syria? And
no. This is like basic bitch Operation Chaos shit, except this is easier because you have to go to a website and do a fucking $1 donation. Like, dude, if you have a problem with the strategy, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And this is Operation Chaos. Yang has already qualified. Something in my mind tells me that who else also qualified that's going to cause some trouble. I can't remember who it was, but it's Yang has already qualified. Something in my mind, someone else also qualified. And I was like, oh, look at that. But yeah, it would be great if Gabbard could as well. I mean, and Gabbard could help herself, for fuck's sake. I mean, we talked about this, too. It's like if Gabbard has great positions, and you can have great positions, but she's a whammon. She doesn't know how to meme. You know, she doesn't know how to, you know, jump into the media cycle and really do much or say much. And so that's why she's lagging.
And her own party is out to fuck her now.
Well, yeah, but she could still, you know, set things on fire, but she's really not. And so, yeah, she's like, I hope she gets the 20,000 donations that she needs. But, you know, if a portion,
20,000 now, so she got about 2,200 or so since the last episode.
Yeah, so that sort of sucks. But anyway, yeah, it would be good to have Gabbard on the debate stage. But Yang will be there. Is there any? It doesn't sound like Yang has moved forward or any sort of agreement. I would suspect that Ben Shapiro has decided that he doesn't want to move forward.
No, I have not heard any further developments about that debate being scheduled or formally agreed to or any of that. I will be keeping my eyes peeled.
Yeah, there hasn't really been much other Yang news. The Yang news really was that he made the debates and that happened. And I really haven't heard much else. He has been going around and doing going around and doing events. So, yeah, if there's a Yang event in your area, definitely check that out. Get that.
There's some polling, but it really hasn't changed much. Unless something breaks the dynamic here wide open, it's basically four right now. You have Biden, Sanders, and Harris and Beto are down there, you know, sort of trading places, 10-11% or so, and those two are at the top.
Hasn't butt plug sort of crept into like 11%, or is that sort of a meme? Was like one poll that they said he's sort of making traction and then died?
That is an Iowa poll that was an Emerson polling poll of likely Democratic Iowa caucus goers. So it's not meaningless.
Yeah,
does his little retail operation. I guess he is, you know, fairly well spoken and, you know, good in person. So I guess he's out there doing the Iowa bit because that's what he's going to have to do.
Yeah. Have you noticed? Well, you're not watching TV. Have you noticed how like bent over backwards media pundits are about pronouncing his name? They don't want to say the word butt in any way because they know he's a fag. So it's like Buttigieg. I've heard Buttigieg. Buttigieg, they just do not want to.
Yeah, I did see one segment where they were, you know, they spent the 2 minutes of the opening part of it on the pronunciation of his name. And I believe what I heard was Buttigieg.
I mean, it's a German.
Now everyone just calls him Mayor Pete. Like, that's the new meme.
Yeah, Mayor Pete. Yeah, they're trying to make it more exciting and Mayor, just to
good old Pete butt plug from down the way.
Yeah, just a regular old buddy from Indiana, just a normal guy, run of the mill, down home, salt of the earth butt plug.
Normal guy from South Bend.
Yeah, they were talking about they were fawning over. Oh, we could have we're rapidly approaching the an inflection point where we're going to have first husband, and not just with like the, you know, whammons that are running for office, but like, you know, the fact that like if a feeg
first
gets elected,
the first life partner.
Yeah. Yeah. And like all the drama that will unfold because they, you know, these people don't keep long term partners. I mean, I was just like, the thing that I thought of is like, how are they going to
drama and domestic violence?
Yeah, like the PR damage control that they'll have to do for this kind of shit and like sneaking out and the drug use and just like, dude, what if the partner and heroes like in the residence? It's like, oh, my God, dude. Oh, welcome to America politics, right? This is the Weimar that we are all headed toward, and it does not seem to be letting up in one way, shape, or form. And of course, Republicans are the ones that really like butt plug. I saw Mika Brzezinski said something to this effect. She was really talking about her like friends, I guess, right?
Yeah, she was saying, you know, that all of the GOP people she talks to, that's the recurring name that she keeps hearing. It's like, yeah, all the GOP, it's like who are the GOP people that you talk to? All the never Trumpers that are now on Morning Joe since. You know, since they had a falling out, because I do remember when that was like, if Donald Trump doesn't have such a favorable audience on that program for the whatever stretch of months that was occurring, I don't know if he becomes president.
Yeah. Yeah, they were really in the tank for a while.
They were doing the bit like, oh, yeah, we'll get this guy to be the GOP nominee. It'll be fucking all gravy.
Well, and for them personally and financially, too. Right. I mean. You know, I remember like Mika basically like getting wet over the sound of Donald Trump's 757's jet engines like spooling up. And of course, you know, it's all an act. And then, of course, you know, then that went sour very quickly. Donald Trump always gets into these big knockout, drag out public fights with people. Like, wouldn't it be great if like if there was something like this that happened with Jared and Ivanka? And like Trump just sort of like unloads on like all the shit that he knows. And, you know, I don't know. I would love for that to happen. It's just never going to happen. But yeah, back to the Democrats, 2020. what else? So, yeah, it's like you say there are four people. Essentially, it's Beto and Harris tied for second.
Yeah, well, according to this latest Fox News poll, it's Biden, who is still not officially in at 31%. This one has Biden at 31, Sanders at 23, and then Harris and O'Rourke both at 8. The other candidates are the political equivalent of a 16th seed. They receive less than 2%. The Fox News was kind enough to point that out. Yeah. Men, women, whites, non-whites, college graduates and non-graduate Democratic primary voters all put Biden first and Sanders second. Now, that is interesting. Sanders has the edge among those under 45, while Biden is first for those 45 and over. Democratic primary voters are more likely to support a candidate they think they can beat Trump 51% than the candidate they like the most, 36%. This is according to the Fox News poll. I realize that those numbers are sort of moving all over the board right now. Among those who say it is more important to vote for the candidate they like than the one who would win, Sanders is the first choice, followed by Biden. So, like, I don't know. I don't really see them getting away from those two. And I think Harris is firmly entrenched in third. Beto, you could potentially say that he's just the flavor of the week, but who's going to come and take his spot? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the question. And, you know, there are other people thinking about getting in the race. I saw Abrams has come out and said, I can be my own woman. I could. Who says that I can't just become president by myself? I mean, that's sort of like a reaction, a week late reaction to Biden thinking about having her as a running mate. But then, yeah, the question is who does Biden unite with? And my position still remains that it's going to be Kamala Harris, because she is very pro-Jew, just like Joe Biden. She is non-white. And she's ambiguously non-white. And, you know, she adds.
Do you think
a lot
she's going to be down to be vice? Yes. you're acting like this is a few years ago.
No, I think she is. I think she's young. I think she's young enough to do that. And I think she would if there's some sort of agreement hashed out that Biden takes one term, or the assumption is he would only get one term and she goes on to have two more. I see that as a possibility, but you never know with this. I mean, it's possible that she doesn't want to have anything to do with that, and then it becomes a fight. I mean, you know, so everybody sort of ignores Bernie and it's like a fight between Kamala and Joe Biden. But
yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how easy it's going to be for them to ignore Biden. But yeah.
No, ignore Bernie, not ignore Biden.
Biden or Bernie. Yeah. Speaking of Biden, this I saw today. So Joe Biden was speaking at one of these things, these sort of smaller events. I assume he was not intending for these remarks to be so widely circulated. This is the dynamic that he's going to face as he kicks off his apology tour, even though he's not in the race yet. He's talking about the Anita Hill hearing and his perceived shortcomings in his role in those proceedings. And so, you know, I don't know, Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill, somehow Joe Biden manages to throw Whitey under the bus again.
Jesus. Well, I mean, this is all predictable, though, right? I mean, he's got to flex these non-white. These non-white or anti-white bona fides he was hoping to avoid having to do that by using Abrams as some sort of a shoe. It doesn't sound like she bit on that line, though. It's my summation of what I surmise from all that is. So he's got to go back to this to keep himself popular with the Blicks.
Yeah. So here's what this is.
She was abused through the hearing. She was taken advantage of. Her reputation was attacked. I wish I could have done something. I opposed Clarence Thomas' nomination. I voted against him. But I also realized there was a real and perceived problem the committee faced. There were a bunch of white guys. No, I mean it sincerely, a bunch of white guys hearing this testimony on the Senate Judiciary Committee. So when Anita Hill came to testify, she faced a committee that didn't fully understand what the hell it was all about.
Yeah, a bunch of white guys, blah, 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 identity politics. We can't possibly understand the suffering of this woman of color who's, you know, once again, it's like no white people involved, and then he goes on to further impugn all of white culture, and this became a big story this afternoon. People are inferring that Biden, it's like rape culture is a white thing. He was probably trying to be a little bit more nuanced than that. But as it so often goes with Joe, it didn't really work out.
No, please.
You know what the phrase rule of thumb means? Where it's derived from? In English common law, not codification, common law. Back in the late 1300s, so many women were dying at the hands of their husbands because they were a chattel, just like the cattle or the sheep.
Or the
that
bat.
The court of common law decided they had to do something about the extent of the death. So you know what they said? No man has a right to chastise his woman with a rod thicker than the circumference of his thumb. This is English jurisprudential culture. A white man's culture. It's got to change.
It's like, yeah, okay, buddy. Like, where is it exactly that women have it better in this time or any other? As compared to other civilizations, where women have had it better. But this is like a Jewish cat lady meme, right? Like, you know, rape culture is coming, and it's going to be, you know, wearing a pair of Bermuda shorts and topsiders.
Jesus. Yeah, I'm still, it makes me extremely angry when I hear that kind of shit said. And it's all for a lust for power, right? This is so he can be in power and basically for the rest of his secure for his family, the rest of his life, a legacy and do the bidding of Jews. It's like, Joe, you're white. You are a white man. Like, this is, you're taught, like, he's a fucking traitor. He's a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. And every time he does, he does, you know, one of these little bits, every stop on his apology tour that he's going to be trying to keep as quiet as possible. It's like, yo there, lunch pail Joe, your whole fucking bit here is to appeal, you know, to the people in central Pennsylvania. And this bit ain't going to get you there. So, asking me for advice, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just telling you this.
Well, the advice was go find a fucking black running mate as fast as you can. So you don't have to.
Yeah.
Do
the most
shit.
Like hideous looking, you know, human being on the fucking planet, just about that you can find that would be extra helpful.
But, you know, like Joe Biden or whoever on the white on, you know, who's left in the Democratic Party, who's a heterosexual white male who is wants to be in power. It's like. The game is the jig is up, motherfucker. It was over a long time ago. Either fucking just be the guy in the room that fucking calls it for what it is. But he can't do that. He just wants this is his last shot at power. He thinks he's owed this. He missed a lot of opportunities to get here because he's tried before and failed. And this is an act of desperation. But look at the stakes. I mean, white heterosexual male trying to run for president. This is what he's going to have to do. And the best advice was find a black running mate, get that locked in right now and use that so that you don't have to do this. But now it's sort of this Rube Goldberg machine for a white man in the Democratic Party to try to play both sides and do this quietly and hope that nobody notices. Yeah.
I mean, it just makes it that much worse. It's like, oh, you know, you're a 42-year-old, you know, up and coming politician in the Democratic Party. You've sort of made your bed and now you have to lie in it. The guy's 70, you know, he's in his mid 70s. And you're going to fucking betray your own people, like your own image as being like a man of these people, ostensibly. You know, to try and hang on to power for a few more years. Like, my God, I could, how fucking despicable is that?
Like, there's a good chance that he's going to die in office from natural causes, but his age, I mean, that's why this, like, this whole thing that I keep bringing up about whoever his running mate is going to be would benefit from knowing that he's probably not going to make it 2 terms because he's old as fuck. And that's sort of like the barter chip that he can give to someone that maybe butt plug or whoever else can't, because it's like they're anyone who is younger than Joe Biden fully intends to run for 2 terms and then have some sort of a legacy after that. Joe Biden, this is his, like, this is his swan song, right? I mean, this is the last hurrah for Joe Biden. And, you know,
yeah, it's sort of like Hillary, only Biden pulls it off a little bit better, I guess, maybe because he's a man. But, like,
yeah,
this is all he's ever wanted.
It's tough to say that. Yeah, he is a man physiologically, but the shit that he's doing right now about, you know, his own race, you know, and of course, just fuck this fucking guy. Yeah, I mean, and look what he was willing to do to get support as a senator. You know, like we were reading that Jamil Bowie piece a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no, you don't say, like, I don't give a fuck what this community's issues are and all this shit. He was like, his statement was basically like, in before all your liberal bullshit about, you know, how fucked up blacks are and how it's all our fault. Like, just, yeah. I don't care. Like, you don't say something like that unless you understand.
Right. Which is why makes what Trump is doing right now just abhorrent, because he understands. And Joe Biden, what he's doing right now, abhorrent, because he understands. And yeah, they fear the Jew. They absolutely fear the Jew, of what the Jews would do to them. They came out and stood up against this. But they're fucking, these people are fucking pussies. You know, I can smell the pussy from the White House from right here. And John, you know, Joe Biden, it's like, dude.
Yeah, that was a fucking sick burn, by the way.
Yeah, I can. And this is the, you know, Joe Biden, it's the same thing. It's like, Joe, if you want to have a legacy that's worth a fucking pot to piss in, you should call
when all this falls apart, which is probably gonna, it's probably, you know, hopefully not going to be too long after you die. Like,
yeah.
Do you really want to be on the right side of history? You know, because the right side of history is my side. All of human history, with the exception of maybe the last, you know, 50 or 100 years, is on my side. So don't talk to me about the right side of history. There is only fucking one.
Well, we've just happened to have been born in this time where, like, all this shit's coming apart. And this has happened, you know, A lot of times before over the millennia. You know, this is a common refrain.
109, 10 or so, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, you know, this is something that is coming undone. And these people, you know, this is the swan song of Joe Biden. It's the swan song of Jewish power in the United States. This is all coming undone and they can't stop it. I mean, Joe Biden, you know, Paul Kersey, our friend Paul Kersey, has said, you know, this, he used to say that this is the time when heroes will rise. We don't say that much anymore because the zero hours in 2016, it was sort of expected that these people would step forward. I mean, Tucker has been the hero that has risen for sure most of the time. But Joe Biden, just imagine Joe Biden, let's say he has 4 more years to live or 8 more years or whatever, however long it is. Just imagine if Joe Biden called a press conference tomorrow, he's never going to do this, but calls a press conference tomorrow and just says, you know what? Fuck it. Like, lunch pail Joe, just fuck it. And, like, lays it all out there. Like, I've been a Democrat for this long. Here's what I've seen change with this country and seen what I've seen change with this party. And I don't fucking like it, and fucking started waxing, you know, 1973 Joe Biden, and just laid it all out there, put it all out there before they could fucking cut the feed on primetime television. And 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, Joe Biden would be a hero. He would be a name that everybody would remember. So would Donald Trump, by the way, if he, you know, got the lead out and fucking just did this thing. Hero, hero. Instead, not a hero. Like, I got to give George H.W. Bush a little bit of credit for that line on AIPAC. He gets a little bit of credit for that. He should have doubled down and tripled down and quadrupled down for the rest of his fucking life. Would have saved us from George W. Bush, that's for sure, from ever being president. But these guys would be treated like heroes, but they're not.
Well, these people have no concept of history, or, you know, or they know the right side of history, or
they have no concept of honor.
The fucking sanitized, essentially grade school version of history that is, sort of governs most people's lives insofar as history is concerned. If you can move beyond that, then it's becomes infinitely easier to take an unpopular stand.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing that could happen to Joe Biden at this point, the most teachable moment thing that could happen to Joe Biden at this point, is that he gets fucking eaten alive by the Coalition of the Ascendant. I would like to watch that. Like, if he's not going to come out and just, you know, fucking, he's never going to come out and do what I prescribed. But the next best thing would be to watch him get eaten alive by the piranhas.
It's never going to be enough. And like I said, I want every single thing like this. You know, I think the New York Post was led with this, but he, you know, there's going to be a lot of stuff where he's going to be saying shit like this in small gatherings. But every single one of those needs to be publicized. And so to the extent that it will never be enough for non-whites, his fucking bullshit and these things like this that are saying that are patently untrue and ludicrous. That shtick needs to not be enough. It's like, it's, you know, his whole bit is to win back these Obama Trump flip voters, right? You're not going to talk about that. You're not going to accomplish that objective talking about how rape culture is really white. Like, that's seriously the dumbest fucking thing you could imagine. Never mind how dishonest it is.
Yeah. Yeah. He's doing someone's doing the raping with a group of people who isn't doing the raping to try to excite people who think they're doing the raping. And that's not the case at all. Like you said, women's have never had it better. And look where that's got us. I mean, that's gotten us cat ladies who lap this shit up. The rancid milk that they feed their fucking 75 felines that occupy their tiny little fucking apartment that they come home to after their shitty corporate job. At least they have their fucking PowerPoints. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, God, how Jewish, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. It's like you would have to be extremely rhetorically gifted to convince women or anyone else for that matter that like soul crushing cube farm jobs are like, you know, a fucking party that you're missing out on.
Woo! Like,
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. They did it though. Gotta hand it to them. They've managed to do that. Giving women what they don't want, one cubicle at a time, one childless future at a time.
And doubling the labor force overnight.
Yeah.
That's a cool trick too.
Very cheaply too. And now they've moved on to illegals because that's even better. Oh man. Well, that's Biden. I have a little bit of stuff on Biden's son. Might as well get this out of the way. China, the yellow peril, we did the FTN focus on with Ethnarch, the first FTN focus, actually. Very good if people want to check it out. China is the looming threat. And the Jews know it. You know, that's why Feinstein has all the connections with the Chinese. And Biden, Biden's son, Hunter, and John Kerry's stepson, Christopher Hines, partnered to create an international private equity firm called Rosemont Capital. And essentially through this private equity firm, the TLDR on all this is essentially China has been buying off Joe Biden through his son. And, you know, the idea was essentially to trade on their father's names to you know, Hines and Biden and Kerry to get some of these profitable deals. And essentially the TLDR for this whole thing is that Joe Biden, after meeting with the Chinese, there was this massive cash infusion that was given from the Chinese to Rosemont Realty, one of Biden's companies. And so there has just been months and months and months of this, like $3 billion, dude. It's like they meet with your dad and then 10 days later, there's like a $3 billion wire transfer to your son's fucking Rosemont Capital. It's like,
yeah, yeah. So here's the nub. The Foreign Corrupt Practices Act prevents American officials from hiring or doing business with the children of foreign officials. It does not prevent foreign entities or officials from hiring or doing business with the children of American officials, because, you know, that would be a violation of the constitutional rights, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, the Rosemont Seneca, of course, is in partnership with the Thornton Group, which is run by Whitey Bulger's nephew, by the way. And they have gained immediate and unprecedented access to many leaders in China as soon as Biden took office as VP back in 2009. So this has been a long time coming. And so Rosemont Seneca, which is the company that Biden's son has, is like, This is they were granted the right to form the first. All right. Not like one of many, but the first international cross-border investment fund in the Shanghai Free Trade Zone.
Now I'm starting to remember hearing about this like one time years ago.
One time. Yeah. Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan. Nah, you can't do business in Shanghai. Joe Biden's Rosemont Seneca. Come on in. Like,
yeah, I remember this. I think it might have been, I still may have been watching Fox News from time to time, and some actually enterprising individual who was there at the time did a piece on this.
Well, and guess who was Secretary of State back then too? After Hillary Clinton. John Kerry.
Oh, yeah. John Kerry.
Yeah, it's like, what's going on here, guys? So Biden, if you go back and look at the record, he's been totally silent on China, on their territorial aggression, on financial subversion. Totally quiet. Doesn't say a word. In fact, a lot of people are really quiet on it. It's the one thing Trump hasn't been quiet on. It's the one, when I say Trump hasn't failed us on like 10%. Like China, trade in China is like the big thing. China, that's the big thing. And, you know, China, that's been the plan all along. I mean, Jews selling out the assets of America, liquidating its wealth to foreign governments. Because in the end, when all is said and done and America collapses, ultimately it's owned by somebody else. That's the plan. And it's like, here, China, we're going to sell you America for rock bottom prices. But you got to give us something in return. And that's, you know, that's essentially what's going on. And, you know, in exchange for that, it's not just selling America at rock bottom prices.
Mark Zuckerberg's half-u child into your country to eventually be, you know, the Communist Party chairman.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just selling off U.S. assets to China. You know, the Waldorf Astoria was bought by a Chinese firm, Anbang. There's a story we're going to talk about this weekend about how Kushner was trying to court Anbang to buy 666 Fifth Avenue and ultimately failed because it was sort of figured out that Anbang was like not really a successful firm. It's just, you know, it's an operation conducted by the Chinese government. I mean, it's like,
they weren't keeping their books by generally accepted accounting principles?
No, not at all. Not at all. But I mean, the biggest sell here that the Jews have with America to China is that it's neutralizing the biggest obstacle to Chinese dominance is getting rid of the United States, or at least bringing it under their control. And so, you know, that's who we owe all of our debt to. Boomers love that, too. It's like, you know. Oh, man. So, yeah, this is Joe Biden. And this is the play that's going on. I mean, this is the thing that nobody wants to talk about and nobody's going to talk about it. But here you have Hunter Biden and Chris Hines. And then they renamed the company Gemini Rosemont. They've renamed this company a couple times, too, because, you know, don't want too many people sneaking around. So I don't know that any of this shit's going to get brought up if Biden becomes the nominee. It might. It should. It certainly should. But so many people have got their beaks wet on China. Their fucking big hook nose beaks wet on China. Like, I doubt this is going to get brought up, at least by mainstream press, because it doesn't benefit anybody.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be brought up by somebody desperate. Somebody trying to appeal to sort of the same portion of the electorate as Joe. Somebody like old Pete Buttplug, for example. But yeah, I wouldn't take it to the bank either way.
No, nah. So you want to do some bottom of the stack shit, or do you have any other 2020 stuff?
Yeah, we can get to some bottom of the stack stuff.
All right, take it away.
Yeah, so I stumbled upon this story in Mother Jones, and stories like this are why I go there. Women who worked with billionaire philanthropist Michael Steinhardt say he asked for sex. let me know when you figure out the pattern here. Sheila Katz was a young executive at Hillel International, the Jewish college outreach organization, when she was sent to visit the philanthropist Michael H. Steinhardt, a New York billionaire. He had once been a major donor, and her goal was to persuade him to increase his support. But in their first encounter, he asked repeatedly if she wanted to have sex with him, she said. Deborah Mulhill, I don't know how to say that. Deborah Goldberg worked for Birthright Israel, a nonprofit co-funded by Steinhardt. When he asked her if she and a female colleague would like to join him in a threesome, she said, Natalie Goldfein,
Jesus,
an officer at a small nonprofit that Steinhardt had helped establish, said he suggested in a meeting that they have babies together. Steinhardt, 78, a retired hedge fund founder, is among an elite cadre of donors who bankroll some of the country's most prestigious Jewish nonprofits. His foundations have given at least $127 million to charitable causes since 2003, public filings show. But for more than two decades, that generosity has come at a price. Six women said in interviews with the New York Times and ProPublica, and one said in a lawsuit, that Steinhardt asked them to have sex with him or made sexual requests of them while they were relying on or seeking his support. Institutions in the Jewish world have long known about his behavior, and they have looked the other way, said Katz, 35, a vice president at Hillel International. No one was surprised when I shared what happened.
Institutions in the Jewish world. It's like,
yeah, no, I mean, I read, you know, the first page of this article basically, and was like, yep, this is going in the bottom of the stack.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh man, Steinhardt declined to be interviewed for this article. In a statement, he said he regretted that he made comments in professional settings through the years that were boorish, disrespectful, and just plain dumb. These comments, he said, were always meant humorously. Yeah, it's just a joke.
In my nearly 80 years on Earth, I have never tried to touch any woman or man inappropriate. It's like you decide to throw that in there. It's kind of a non sequitur here, bud.
Yeah.
Provocative comments, he said, were part of my shtick since before I had a penny to my name and I unequivocally meant them in jest. I fully understand why they were inappropriate and I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. Lifelong New Yorker Steinhardt has given millions to city institutions, all very Jewish institutions. And yeah, I mean, that's like, did this guy hire anybody who is not Jewish? I mean, it's like Goldfein, Goldberg, Katz, go down the list, Bronfman. I mean, Jesus Christ. It's just, it never ends.
Hey, man,
I mean,
he was, would you rather him be out there going after shiksas? He was, trying to keep it in the Klan.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he was, but, or maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But, this seemed to be his shtick, as he so eloquently put it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there goes another one for the statistics. Another one for the stats that they don't want to talk about. Barbara Streisand faces backlash over Michael Jackson comments. Streisand said in an interview with the Times, doesn't say which Times, published Friday, that allegations against Jackson were likely true, but placed blame on the parents of the singer's alleged victims. His sexual needs were his sexual needs, coming from whatever childhood he has or whatever DNA he has, Streisand told the Times. You can say molested, but these children, as you heard, they were thrilled to be there. They both married and they both have children, so it didn't kill them. Jesus.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks.
Yeah, it's like, I don't, I saw it and was just like, what's the angle here?
Jesus.
Sure she was, I'm sure that they had a considerable relationship over their years as, you know, sort of the arch figures of entertainment, in the music business for decades between the two of them. Largely at the same time. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me to find out that she had an affinity for old Jacko and all those Macaulay Culkin can fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Doesn't have a vested interest there at all, I'm sure. Right. Yeah. Some of these other ones. Sam Adams is going to be releasing a Ruth Bader Ginsburg inspired beer. I always knew Sam Adams was a fucking faggot. The When There Are Nine Belgian Brute IPA was created by Whammon at craft breweries to mark International Whammon's Day and will be released by Sam Adams at a special event on March 29th. So tomorrow, we are dedicating this brew to feminist icon Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and naming it When There Are Nine. Inspired her famous response to the question, when will there be enough women on the Supreme Court? Jesus Christ. We wanted to name it Brute Bader Ginsburg, but our legal team dissented. Oh, yeah. No, because I'm sure the legal team is comprised of Jews, and that would be, it can't be fucking perverting or corrupting her fucking wonderful Jewish name. So.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I saw this one. This one was on the Hill. San Antonio bans Chick-fil-A from airport over anti-LGBTQ, whatever, insert the other 27 letters here.
Globo-homo ideology? Is that a...
Yes, indeed, good sir.
Is that a misprint? Globo homo ideology.
Yes,
no, I'm afraid it is not a misprint. popular fast food chain Chick-fil-A has reportedly been barred from opening a new location in the San Antonio, Texas airport. The San Antonio City Council on Thursday voted 6-4 to pass a new concessions agreement that excludes Chick-fil-A, citing the company's anti-LGBTQ denations and history, according to the San Antonio Current. With this decision, the city council reaffirmed the work our city has done to become a champion of equality, blah, 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 blah. Responding, Chick-fil-A said the press release issued by the council member was the first we've heard of this motion and its approval by the San Antonio City Council, blah, 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 blah. You know, I hope they're planning on taking the most strenuous legal action possible here. Plus, like, you know, did the people, you know, who are going to be going through the airport have any input on this? Because people like Chick-fil-A, even people who, you know, are known to be supportive of, you know, homosexual causes, they sometimes they just break down and got to have a little of that hate chicken.
Yeah, I haven't had Chick-fil-A in a long time. I don't have one anywhere nearby. It's good stuff. I mean, you know, even if you're
there's a few around here, dude. The reason that I honestly don't go to Chick-fil-A very often is that there's usually like 17 cars in the fucking drive-through.
Yeah, well, it's popular stuff. It's good chicken. Even if you're doing keto, I mean, but if you're not doing keto, don't they have waffle fries there? I want to say
they have. They do. Fries. They do have waffle fries.
Yeah, very good stuff.
I remember. There was an old article on the TRS blog said something about, I forget exactly what it was, something about fag marriage with a side of waffle fries.
Nice. Yeah, TRS blog, some classics, that's for sure. What else here? I have other stuff here, but I don't want to bite into Larry's Schadenfreude suppository. Yeah, I think that's about it. Do you have anything else?
Nah. I think we're probably pretty good for the midweek episode.
Alrighty. Well, got a big show coming this weekend, like every weekend. So hope you guys enjoyed the midweek show. Catch you guys on Sunday.